I got to tell you, I feel a little awkward this morning. I feel a little anxious because I feel like I'm talking to a group of people that we've already asked so much of and who have given us so much. And I'm going to stand here this morning. I'm going to ask some more of you. And I want to say thank you first. And I'm going to thank you for what you've done and for what I believe you're going to do. And before I go any further, I need to first thank my sweet wife, because there is no way I would be standing here today talking to you about what I'm talking to you about without her. And I better just stop. If you know Haley, I don't have to tell you how excited she is about today. Now, normally, we do a lot of special things here, and we honor a lot of ministries, and we honor a lot of groups, and we talk about a bunch of different projects, but we don't celebrate individuals. Now, you and I both know that we're not celebrating an individual today, but I wouldn't tell her that if I were you, okay? She's pretty sure this is about her. I want to tell you today that it's not about her. It's about a ministry that she has led us to. And I also want to tell you that Haley is an incredible blessing to me as a public speaker because I always have plenty of stories to tell. I just really wish I could tell them all. And as I sit here and I look at Doyle and he's had his own picture of a few special stories and Kyle has a whole library full and where is Alvin Stamps? He got one of the first really great stories. I thought I was going to have to resign within a month of coming to work here because of a Haley story that Alvin has to share. But it's just life with Haley. And she's always giving us more. It was a couple of years ago, we were at the lake at my brother's house, and we went into town to this little restaurant. And we're kind of visiting as we mosey in, and Haley's the first person in the restaurant. And as she walks into the restaurant, she quickly veers over to this hallway, and she won't go in. Haley, let's go eat. I thought you were hungry. I'm not going in. Haley, it's time to eat. Let's go in. I'm not going in. Why don't you want to go in? And she points at this sign. And it says, no shirt, no shoes, no. And she can't figure out the next word. I'm not going in there. I'm not taking my shirt off to go eat. I'm going home. Had to explain to her. We did get her into the restaurant and she was safe. You know, all the women had their shirts on, so she was good. It was just a few weeks ago and my soon-to-be daughter-in-law calls and asks Haley if she will be a bridesmaid in the wedding. And Haley says, yes, yes. And said, what color of the dress is going to be? And Ashley says, black. That's a problem. Haley says, I don't wear black. And Ashley caught a little speechless, says, but Haley, she says, no, you don't understand. I don't wear black. You need to talk to my mom about that. I'm not sure if she's wearing black or the dresses have changed, but one way or the other, it will happen. I would love to be able to stand here today and tell you that I chose this. And that's not true. I would love to be able to stand here and tell you that if someone would have lined up 100 kids 19 years ago and told us how they were going to develop and the challenges that they would face and the things that they would accomplish, that I would have chosen her. But that's not true. Because 19 years ago, I wouldn't have. And it's not because of her. It's because of me. Because I'm too big of a coward to have knowingly taken on the challenges that have come our way because of life with Haley. But I stand here today very thankful that God knew what He was doing, even though I question His confidence in our ability at times. I'm thankful that He has given Haley Thompson to us because of the most important lessons in life that I have learned, Haley, with the help of Karen, has taught me most of them. Haley's the one who taught me how to love. everyone. If you're not loved by Haley Thompson, it's because you won't let her. How to forgive. If you've ever done something that you thought wronged Haley and you were asking forgiveness or saying you're sorry, she's telling you it's okay before you even get to tell her what you've done. She's still working on teaching me how not to worry. She just doesn't. She just intuitively knows that she's taken care of, that she's okay. I'm working on that one. She teaches me how to love life. I don't know many people who have the list of challenges going on in their lives that Haley Thompson has. But I challenge you to find somebody who finds more joy in life than she does. It was last summer and Kyle was doing a series of lessons about a transition, a change, and some things that we were doing. And one of the questions that he asked, an assignment he gave us, was how is God producing fruit in our lives? And he had a little handout and he asked people to fill it out. And unbeknownst to me, because she wasn't sitting with us that Sunday, Haley filled it out. And some of you saw this and some of you didn't, but this is how God's producing fruit in Haley. Love people. Hug people. I'd love to tell you that I taught her that. Except that she's still teaching me that. And she's supposed to be the cognitively challenged one. Makes me wonder what she knows that we don't. But this day's not about her. But she did get a hold of my notes and get something sticky, you know. I'd love to take just a few minutes this morning and tell you where we've been and where we want to go. And I want to give you a chance to help us in several ways. But to kind of set it up, I'd love for you to turn to Mark chapter 5. And I want to start in verse 18, and then I kind of want to work backwards a little bit because of the way it sets up, and so that I can manipulate it just a touch to make it fit what I want to teach you this morning, I guess. You know the story. It's a man that's possessed by demons, and he's been cast out of the society, and he's living in the cemetery. And you know what Jesus does for him. He casts out those demons and he gives him his life back. And in verse 18, Mark says that as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." I think this guy has a very natural response to want to follow the man who has given him his life back. But what do you do when Jesus says no? How do you respond? When you feel like you're being faithful and you feel like you've been prayerful and you feel like you're acting in accordance to God's will and yet God says no. How do you respond? I got to tell you, I can relate to this guy because apparently I've fought God and His plan for my life a lot longer than this guy did. You see, I had a work that I was doing. I had felt like I had been called to the University Church of Christ to do youth ministry, and I felt like it was going well, and I felt like we were having influence on a lot of kids, and we had been doing it long enough that we kind of had a nice routine and it was fun and relatively easy most of the time. So if it's easy, how can it not be God, right? And Karen could bear witness to you the number of times that we would question and that I would question why, if God gave me this work, why would He give me this child? I guess you could argue, but I think it would have been easier for this formerly demon-possessed man to follow Jesus. And you may think, well, You can argue with me if you want, but here's why I think that. If he had gone with Jesus, he'd been one of a group, one of a crowd. And at that time, it's kind of the popular thing for Jesus, or for people to do, is to follow him. If he does what Jesus calls him to do, he goes alone and goes back on his own. If he'd gone with Jesus, he could have been an exhibit, an example of Jesus' power, and that would have been awesome. But if he goes back, he would be the spokesman. He would be the main attraction. With Jesus, he would have been a stranger getting a fresh start. Going back to his home, he would have to take all of the baggage with him and overcome all of the stories of all the people that remembered all of the crazy things that he had done in this former life. I can relate to that formerly demon-possessed man. And I can relate to that frustration when he hears Jesus say, "I don't want you to do what you want to do. I have something else in mind for you." I have to tell you, most of the time, and I'm not downplaying the role of youth ministry and the work that it takes to deal with teenagers, because I did it for a long time and think it only gets harder. But I have to tell you, it's easier to try to convince teenagers raised in decent homes with middle class values and privileges that God is good than it is to try to convince a family whose dream of a child that will never exist that God is good. It's easier to walk with a teen through a broken love knowing that another one will more than likely come along than to walk a parent through a dream that will change the rest of their lives. But 10 years ago, we kind of started this journey, and almost 9 years ago, the leaders of the Southwest Church were crazy enough to invite Karen and I and Justin and Haley to come and work with you. And we're excited about the opportunity to join in this work called the Haley Project, which was just getting started. And I can tell you that this work has taken us to places we never imagined. And he has led us to places and people that we never thought we'd have an opportunity to talk to. And I've included, if you didn't get a bulletin today, there's a bulletin article and a little inserted letter that in order to try to save time, you having to listen to me this morning, give you a chance to just read. And in that letter, there's a chance to sign up for some things to help us provide and meet this dream. And so I hope you will do that. We've been given more opportunities than we could have ever imagined. When we started doing this work 10 years ago, we thought we were just going to help some parents help their kids through the school system. And all of a sudden it was, "I need your help dealing with a doctor." And then it was dealing with kids as they transition out of school and what do you do next. And before you know it, there's a Bible class program that we'll talk to you about in just a minute. But today isn't about me either. If you go back to Mark chapter 5 and look at starting in verse 2, I think you find some parallels between what this man was dealing with and what the history of people with special needs and the practical experience of many families is today. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp tones. For generations, children born with special needs were sent to an institution, and moms and dads were told that you can't raise them, that it's too much stress on you, your family won't be able to handle it. Let's take them where they can care for them so that you can go on about their life. And about 30 years ago, that began to change, and we began to hear more and more people being encouraged to take these children and to raise them and include them. But I'll tell you, even as we're included, it's still very isolated. And I would love to tell you that church is better, But statistics and research say that we're not. Research has been done that says that the same percentage of families who have special needs children say that faith is an important part of their lives. About 80% of these families would say that. And yet, of those same 80%, only 20% of those families would say that they regularly attend church or are part of any faith community. And as they ask the reason why that is true, here are some of the answers. It's just too hard to get ready. It's too hard to get there. When we get there, there's little or no support. When we get there, people look strangely at us when our kids start to act up. It's easier to stay home and watch it on television than it is to wrestle in a pew. I have to tell you, that breaks my heart, because my faith community for 20 years has been a large part of what makes our family work. Because Haley Thompson can come to the Southwest Church and be loved. She can come to the Southwest Church and you treat her like family, and you treat her with the respect that human beings deserve. And I'm not going to call them out today, but you've done that for so many others, because they're sprinkled all over this auditorium even as I speak this morning. That you've loved them and you've accepted them. I want Southwest to be different, and we have work to do. Craig and Cheryl have been working tirelessly on creating a room for families to be able to go to, where they can still be a part of the service and see what's going on and hear what's going on. We're soon going to have my counseling room wired with closed circuit television, where families who can't quite be there can take the next step back and still be with us, even when things are not going so well. Now, that's for kids with special needs, okay? Not for Doyle. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. And it will not have satellite, at least initially. So, I would love to have the opportunity to take that a step further, to where we have a group of people here that when a family with special needs came in, that we would buddy up with them. And if their child was getting a little out of hand or getting a little overstimulated, that you would tell mom and dad to stay, and that you would take their child. We see that on Wednesday nights. It happens every other week when we have our parents' class, and there are people who volunteer and they take kids to Bible class. They have a great time, and their parents are able to participate in a class that's specifically designed for them. And so I would love to see that happen as the time comes. Then we have this group. This is our Wednesday night class. These pictures might give you just a glimpse into some of that work. And while some of these guys in these pictures don't know the story of Mark chapter 5, I've got to tell you, they've lived it. They've been uninvited by other churches. They've been pushed to the side. They've been isolated before. And while we call it Zacchaeus' place, we call it that because he was an outcast. He was unwanted, and yet he was invited by Jesus. And Zacchaeus' place sounds a whole lot better than the cemetery from Mark chapter 5. So we'll leave it at Zacchaeus' place. This group has grown from 3 when we started to over 40. And the credit for that goes completely to Karen and to Ben Urbanczyk and to Hank Northcutt. It was about 3 years ago that Hank showed up in our class one Wednesday night, and he said, "Brad," I said, "Hank, what are you doing?" He said, "Brad, I just need to go to a place where I can find some joy." And 3 years later, Hank's still there. It was just a few months later than that, Karen and I were going to be gone, and Hank thought he might need some help, so he recruits this guy that carries a gun, Ben Urbanczyk. And he told him, he said, "Wear your uniform and bring your gun." And he did. And Ben hadn't left yet. They create and teach better lessons than Karen and I have been able to find on the internet or in publishing houses anywhere for these guys. I've told them many times that they need to be writing them down and publishing them, but they just keep not doing that. over the past few months, they've been helping some of the members of our class prepare lessons and teaching. And I have to tell you, it's been some of the most amazing teaching I've ever heard. These guys don't just stop there. We run, we call them bus routes, but it's just full carloads of kids who wouldn't be here otherwise. And it's Ben and it's Hank and it's Karen picking them up and making sure they're here. It's unbelievable. And I couldn't tell you how many phone calls a week that Ben or Banzit gets. I'm just glad that the state's paying for his cell phone bill. I don't know how many phone calls Hank gets a week, but I do know this. They never say no. They never let it go to voicemail. And they always answer the call. And it's been such an incredible blessing to Karen and me because it's freed us to do some other things and focus on some other things like working with schools and pediatricians and community leaders to try and create better environments for people who have special needs, because it is our fundamental belief that God knew what He was doing when He made Haley Thompson. And He made her with a gift that needs to be shared. Not only in the church community, but in the larger community. And we believe that when people get to share their gifts, the community gets better. And when they don't, we're the ones who are missing out. So that's our work. That's what we want to do. And it puts a smile on our face and it brings us joy, even though there are times when it's hard. Because we want verse 20 of Mark chapter 5 to happen because of all people, including people with special needs. Verse 20 says, "So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them." Wouldn't you like to be a part of that? If the servers who helped with communion this morning would move to their positions, I'm going to ask you to help us in just a minute. I have to tell you that I have great timing. 2 months, I wrote our first grant application 2 months before people started flying planes into buildings on 9/11. I don't have to tell you what that did to financial markets, what it did to charitable giving, what it did to foundation giving. Great timing. And I recognize that I stand before you today in another great time in the financial world. And I just trust this. We're still here. Which means God is going to provide. Now, I don't want you to just give unknowingly. I want to tell you exactly what we want to do with the money that you're going to give us today. There are two things. The first thing that I want to do is to do a marriage retreat for families who have kids with special needs. I don't know if you know this, but couples who have kids with special needs have somewhere between an 80 and 90% divorce rate. It's a higher divorce rate than even couples who lose kids to death. I think we can do something about that. And Karen and I have been working with marriages for a long time, and we want to specifically design and pay for the opportunity for parents who have these kids to come and get help and to know that the door is open for them. The second thing that we want to do is to start again our respite care program, where we invite families like Haley's to bring their kids and their siblings, because I'll just tell you, it wouldn't have been much a break when our kids were little to take Haley somewhere and have Justin. Okay, he was just as big a pain. So that wouldn't have helped as much. So we take them all. We take them all. And we need help to do that. It takes a little money, and it takes a lot of people. And people who have helped us before, I think, would tell you the incredible blessing that it is. We will do as much work as you'll let us do. We've been blessed beyond belief by people individually and corporately giving to our work. And I want you to know, if you've been doing that, that all those works that you're supporting will continue. This is just the next step in the journey for us in trying to serve. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for today. And I just know you're going to work. And I know that you will give us everything we need to do the work that you need us to do and want us to do. And so, Father, this morning I pray a prayer of thanksgiving, knowing that this group of people will come through because they always do. And it's because they love you and they love your people. And it's through Jesus I pray. Amen. I was reading one morning this week, and I don't want you to think I read poetry, because I don't. But there was a poem in a book that I was reading. Just want to clear that up real quick for a variety of reasons. But the poem was titled, "Which Are You?" And the author says this: "There are just two kinds of people on earth today, just two kinds and no more, I say. Not the sinner and saint, for it's well understood that the good are half bad and the bad are half good. Not the happy and sad, for the swift lying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. No, the two kinds of people on earth I mean are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find the earth's masses are always divided in just these two classes. And oddly enough, you will find too, I ween, there's only one lifter to every 20 who lean. In which class are you? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil down the road? Or are you a leaner who lets others share your portion of labor and worry and care?" I want to be a lifter. And I want to allow me to be a lifter. And I also want you to know that there's a time when people can't lift and they need to lean, and some of us have to lift them. And that's our work. I want to thank you for supporting us, both with your dollars and with your time. But this morning I want to end with this challenge. And so the leaders move around to their appointed places in the auditorium. I want to challenge you with this. What's God calling you to this morning? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're disappointed because God has told you no. I want to tell you I can relate to that, because I didn't plan on standing here this morning talking to you about this today either. Maybe this morning you need the courage to just ask God what it is He's calling you to, and ask for the courage to step out in faith to do it. And maybe that includes just starting your journey, like we watched happen this morning. Whatever it is you need to respond to, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.